Morning, Heather.
Morning, Toby.
I'm excited.
Because
I can hear, yes. Not because of the six cups of coffee that you've had.
Oh, well,
that's
definitely.
That's pretty exciting too, right? But, yeah, but back to school. Twofold, right? Because I got two kids.
Yeah.
And I love spending time with them in the summertime. But man, it was like a weight off my shoulder when we finally got them back into school and it's so quiet around here.
You get to do that celebratory dance.
Yes. Yeah. And it's almost eerily quiet because there's not anything going on. It's kind of scary. Like, what is, there's no one screaming, no one yelling that they need something. Well, I take that back.
I was going to say, I feel like you've got to have some people on your team that are yelling because they need something. I've met your team.
Oh no, they love me so much. No. Well, now I'm happy to be on with you this morning to talk about back to school, right? Not just with the kiddos, but the malting courses that we put on every year.
They're finally back after a few years off. We finally came back with the Great Western Malt and Canada Malting courses.
That's right. We did have to take a couple years off like the entire world did.
Mm-hmm.
But back in full force, the Great Western Malting Company, I attended that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you attended the Canada Malting Company one, right?
I did. Yeah. And it was just, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So what we're doing on this episode is giving the listeners a recap and some interviews that we did with some of our guests and some planners within our organization and some other folks. So, if you haven't been to one of these malting courses, they are back in full force. It's something that we take a lot of pride in as an organization, and they're really, really cool. Hell, I thought I knew about malting, but it really shows attending these how much little I know.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, did I say how much little?
Toby does need to go back to school.
Absolutely. But yeah, so we had a really good opportunity, you and I both, to interview some of the attendees, and so I'm excited to have all the listeners as a kind of a recap. But for Great Western Malting, it was the week of June 12th. We did it up in, well, we did the course up actually in Salt Lake City, but we had the opportunity to go out to our malting facility in Pocatello, Idaho, and then also had the opportunity to take a bus out to our friends at Stoddard Farms, who do some barley growing for us out there in Grace, Idaho, and they were very gracious to host us and give us some barbecue. And then we spent, 2 or 3 days talking about everything from the world barley and malt markets, procurement, food and safety, sustainability, general infrastructure of malting, production, analysis, COAs. I mean, it was really, really, really cool. And I'm certain that y'all dove into something similar, right?
We definitely did. I'm actually super jealous because I have always wanted to go to the Great Western Malting facility in Pocatello. So that's on my wish list of things to see. But yeah, we were in Calgary at the Canada Malting facility. Much of the same stuff. We had our maltsters come in and do presentations for everybody. We had, presentations on grain handling in the brew house, making the switch over to silos, all that kind of information. We got to, of course, tour the facility. We got to tour the new adjunct facility, which is the first time that we've ever had, had the opportunity to have customers in and come and see it, which is really, really cool. We got to go out to our barley elevators. Shout out to Ryan Dodd, our director of grain, for, taking everybody out to see the fields, to see the elevators and all that. It was a really cool experience. And this is my second time doing the malting course because I did get to attend back in 2019. And yeah, I learned something new every single time.
Yeah, the elevators are cool, and it's a big plus for Canada Malting. Did y'all do anything up at Banff? I mean, historically, taking some people out there.
So yes, I did not attend the Banff portion. Shout out to Justine, huge shout out to Justine, who you'll hear from both of us because she organizes both of these courses. But she did take a bunch of our customers out to Banff for the weekend. They got to do a hike. They got to go, see all that Banff is, which I know is a huge thing for people. They love it out there.
Yeah, I miss that. Yeah, I've been out to the CMC course and it's been what, 5 or 6 years. And that was really cool. But yeah, excited for the listeners. So for the listeners out there, if you haven't been to the course, reach out to somebody out here at Country Malt Group or Great Western Malting or CMC. We would be happy to have y'all next year as we put this, put these things on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's exciting stuff. We have limited availability, limited space, obviously, but we want to try to get as many people as we can to these learning opportunities. But I say, without further ado, let's just dive right in. What do you say, Heather?
I agree with you, Toby.
Hello, testing. Okay, here we go. We are out here at the malting course that we put on several years. I think this is the second year we've done it, maybe the third year here. For Great Western Malting, but out here with a fine group of folks on our, God, is it already the second day? Second day. Yeah. And tomorrow we'll be taking a nice trip out to Pocatello to visit the Malton House, but we got a great group of folks here. I'm sitting with, two ladies that are here on scholarship, I believe, that came to our malting course here in Salt Lake City, from the Pink Boots Society, right? Cool. So I got Alex Zielstra and Elia Smith. So Elia, let's start with you. And just wanted to bring you in and put you in front of the microphone, learn a little bit more about how you got here. So tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in the industry or plan to get in the industry, and where you're from, a little bit of background.
Thank you, Toby. So yes, I'm originally from Mexico, in the south part of Mexico. I am a student at the UCSD Brewing Program, also with an amazing opportunity of a scholarship called Brewing for Diversity. Applying for the scholarship was very special to me in a way that it's a continuation of what I'm already studying. To be in the industry, I feel this will prepare me to best represent my community in the brewing industry. It interests me to apply. Pin Boots San Diego, the chapter, they announced the scholarship in one of our meetings, and then I went to the website and kind of look at the details, and it was a question of do I have the right materials and education to be here, and I'm very thankful that Great Western and Pin Boots gave me the trust to be here and represent the community. That's the main reason.
Awesome, and it's great to have you. So obviously we still got another day to go to actually visit the Malt House in Pocatello, but what's some of the, I know there's been a lot of like data and info, we call it like analysis paralysis out here, but there's a lot of stuff that we've learned in the other room. What's been one of the biggest or coolest thing that you've learned over the last couple of days?
My background is in analytical chemistry. So I'm already in the sciences. I'm a little bit of a nerd. And the certificate of analysis from the perspective of the maltster, it was great information for me. I'm learning it in the brewer's perspective, but that is a combination of both, I guess, methods of each perspective on each of the two parts of brewing that is complementing on my skills and the education for that. And it's giving me an overall overview, what really I'm looking for on each area.
Awesome. Well, that's good. And you and I had a chance to catch up over lunch and talk a little bit yesterday. I got to tell you, you're one of the most interesting people I've ever met. You just got some really cool stories. And if we had time, we could certainly talk about your story about the Rolling Stones that I just learned about. But I wanted to hear a little bit more briefly about your hobby and some of the stuff you're doing at home, specifically with pineapples.
Yes. I in Mexico, south part of Mexico, we're big in fermentation. It's part of our culture. And we see fermentation as not just a science and a way to respect nature. One of the drinks that is a traditional native drink of Mexico is called tepache, and is fermenting the outside pineapple, the outside skin of pineapples. It's low ABV on percentage of alcohol, but it has a couple of components that are good for health, including bromelain. It's known for digestion, for inflammation. So that component being part of my culture, I carry that to the United States. I apply it to my family. And it's something that I carry on as a cultural, as a being a scientist, but fermentation is very special to me. I'm into mycology, so I grow mycelium to grow mushrooms. I make sauerkraut, kimchi. I'm experimenting on making cheese. All those elements is fermentation. So one of the things that I dream about is to have a fermentation education, a place where everyone can just brew, learn something simple as bromelain and pineapple, but at the same time, honoring Earth, where all these items come from, what are the elements that transform these elements, which is in this case our yeast, lactic acid, bacteria, and what it brings to us to benefit us.
Very cool, and I hope that you and your son get to meet Lars Ulrich, which is another cool story in itself, but a big Metallica fan she is, so thanks, Elia. Alex, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, I need to give you the microphone. Sorry. Here you go. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name's Alex. I'm from Calgary, Alberta. I'm part of the Canada chapter. I've been in the brewing industry for about 5 years. I actually have a background in microbiology in the poultry agricultural industry, which a lot of people don't really understand the changeover, but I basically got started in brewing by working in the lab at Village Brewery in Calgary. I ran all of their QC, QA programs. From that, I kind of realized that I was very good at like spreadsheets and organization. So I ended up taking over all their like supply chain management and all of the like procurement and our forecasting and all of our like scheduling for production and brews. Through that kind of is like where I ended up getting more and more interested in malt. We have a couple local maltsters in Alberta that are they're very in the community and they're all super wonderful people, honestly. And they've definitely opened their doors over the years for us to be able to go see them. That being said, it's nothing on the scale, the same scale as the Canada Malting Group in Calgary. So when I saw the scholarship appear on the Pink Boots website, I thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to really expand my knowledge. I did the IBD certificate a couple years ago, but that was kind of my first formal brewing education. And so, you know, I do have a science degree, but I think you feel the same way, where it's like when you're an ambitious female in the industry, you are looking for every single opportunity to learn, every single opportunity that you can elevate your own understanding. And like personally being in the industry for 5 years, like I really love to talk to people who have a greater understanding than me, but also you tend to meet people that maybe have a different understanding than you. Like I've met some amazing people here, like people who are, you know, doing the little the stock plots, is that what they're called? The testing plots? And like someone explained to me what a combine was. And like, you know, you end up learning so much more than like what you expect when you come to one of the things. Like I've loved all of the like scientific technical knowledge, everything about like the varietals and like the weather patterns and like how that's going to affect your protein and everything like that. And all of that's been so valuable. But hearing everyone's stories on top of that is something that I find that you don't get outside of events like this. And it's like just such a blessing to hear what everyone has to say and meeting everyone and seeing their different perspectives and, you know, why it matters to them as well, because like what I'm getting out of it is not the same as what someone else is getting out of it. And you really just get that like intersection of ideas. So yeah, I think that covers it.
You did a fantastic job. So yeah, we talked a little bit about Ellie and some of her interesting story. So what do you got that's interesting that the listeners might want to hear about? She's just giving me this face. If you could see it, if I could film, it's just like this. What? Who's this guy?
You know, something I really like to talk about is my dog.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I have a little 2-year-old dog, and he's the light of my life. I know that's probably not very interesting for the brewing community, but I do love, like, we do like a Pints and Pups calendar that they'll do, and they'll like fundraise for the local animal shelters and stuff like that. So that's really cool. I do volunteer on a board for Pink Boots. And so that's kind of like something interesting that I do outside of my role, I guess. I'm about to take on a new position as environmental health and safety manager at a different brewery in Calgary called Banded Peak. So that's a really exciting adventure I'm about to go into. Basically, right now, my entire life is revolving around like work and transitioning careers, which is why when you asked me that question, I was like, oh my goodness, what is life right now? So, yeah, I really like cooking. I'm not really very good at fermentation, unlike Elia. I've tried to do kombucha before, and I was so terrible at it that I actually turned my kombucha fermentation vessel into a perpetual terrarium to remind myself that I'm really bad at finishing things sometimes. I'm very good at starting things and not finishing them. So I guess, like, you know, just taking every day a step at a time and, you know, grateful to be here. And like, I'm so excited to see the plant tomorrow because, like, you know, there's so many like microbreweries and like there's not a lot of like macro breweries. And so like, since I'm transitioning into a bigger brewery, I'm very excited to see this like massive plant that we're going to and see the Opti Steep and everything like that. So yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things too, that, and I had some conversations with some other folks here that it's a rare opportunity that a lot of craft brewers specifically get to see a malting facility in that operation. You know, most of them just open a bag of malt and say, hey, I'm going to make my product. They don't really realize what happens in order to get that bag in their brewery for them to use to make an end product. So I'm excited for y'all to see it and really happy that Pink Boots was able to support, which they always do. And I know we're heavily involved, and I'm glad that y'all could, first of all, apply and end up here. But I did take y'all away from tasting some White Dog in there. I will get you back just as soon as possible, but just real quick, was there something specific? We did the hot steep test with 6 different malts, and then we're doing some White Dogs in there. Any comments, Aaliyah, on some of the steep testing, any product that really, you know, that you thought, wow, this is it's pretty good stuff?
Absolutely. It was definitely a different perspective, because so far in my brain, I'm thinking a final product, and how all the parameters what that means. I never looked into what is the pre before the post. And I thought it was delicious. I even told some people, hey, we can make popsicles out of this. Let's, what kind of other options can we make it to be accessible? Why? Because it's very nutritious. So that's something that my brain is always like, what kind of other application can come to this? But tasting and learning, using your nose and what is telling you in the back of your palate, using your anatomy to kind of really connect with the product. And that's something that I have seen right here that is very special from the farmers, from everyone that touches every downstream process of the whole a beautiful transformation of nature. It's awesome. And having a taste and smell and listen what other colleagues are saying and participants and, you know, the students in here, it kind of wraps all together. So, and then it becomes culture itself. So the culture of malting is, I'm very happy to be connected with you guys, because especially the company, I ran the mission statements, the history, and it all comes together at the end. So we're sitting here making new relationships, but all comes to this tasting of that beautiful barley grain, that how it was extracted, these flavors for us to enjoy.
And Alex, I think you had like 6 little shooter shot glasses there lined up in front of you when I pulled you away, so I apologize about that.
No. That's all good. I've learned in this experiment that I don't like White Dog, but that's okay. I pressed it with a lot of water and you still get some nuance of, out of it. Yeah, I just, you know, we're both here on the Pink Boots scholarship, and I just think it's like important to mention, like, Pink Boots is such a wonderful organization. Like, if there's anyone in the industry that's like questioning about whether or not they should join or whether or not they should get into it, like, don't hesitate, just do it. Like, I have met more wonderful people through like joining Pink Boots and going to our chapter events and our chapter volunteering than in like most other aspects. And, you know, there's just some really supportive people in the organization. It's very easy to join. You get a yearly membership, and there are so many scholarships that are available to people. And I don't think that a lot of people realize that beyond, being like a networking thing, the primary goal of Pink Boots is to actually educate women. And in Canada, we also have a mission statement of like including non-binary peoples as part of the brewing industry, and like just giving someone that extra person to talk to or to connect with, or to be like, how do I negotiate something, or how do I like go about making this recipe, and just having that point of focus where you know you're not going to get judged, and then, you know, getting these wonderful education opportunities, which is their primary goal on top of it. It's just, it's so wonderful. And I just wanted to give like a bit of a shout out to Pink Boots there. And, you know, if you're thinking of joining, just do it. Don't question yourself.
100%. And that's a great way to end it. And I'll let y'all get back to it. So thanks again for joining us out here in Salt Lake, and looking forward to the trip out tomorrow. We're joined by another three gentlemen here to talk a little bit more about the malting course out here in Salt Lake City for Great Western Malting. This is the first time I've been to the Great Western Malting course. I have been up to the one that we're doing with our other family of brands, Canada Malting. Like, on that one in Canada Malting, they typically do a trip up to Banff. I don't know if you've been to Bay. It's just so gorgeous out there. But we do have the opportunity tomorrow to head out to Pocatello to visit what some people call the Starship Enterprise, which is the malt house out there in Pocatello. So we'll all be getting on a bus tomorrow and making it happen. But I peeled another three people away from the white spirits tasting in there, so I apologize about having to do that, but we'll get you back just as soon as possible. But yeah, I wanted to just pass around the mic here and just tell me a little bit about yourself. So we've got Sean Peterson over at Utah Brewers Co-op, right?
Correct.
Devin Vogt Stone. Mm-hmm. And JT Albright also over at Stone. So happy to have y'all here. So we'll just start to my right here because you're closest. So Devin, tell me a little bit about yourself, you know, what brought you here, and then you know, we'll talk a little bit about what you learned while you're out here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in the brewing industry for the last decade, and then I've been brewing personally for the last 7 years while I've been in the industry. I've been to GABF, won a gold medal in rye beer for Right On at Breakwater Brewing Company, and after Breakwater came to Stone, and have been at Stone for the last 4 years, starting off in the cellar and working my way to brewing supervisor. I've never actually gotten into the nitty-gritty of malt, and a lot of the details and stuff coming from this course, like, I'm learning a lot more about what actually makes a specialty malt, what in the process of malting makes a malt specifically a specialty malt versus like a base malt, and how to read COAs. That's a good skill that I now have, because that's always kind of looked like a page with hieroglyphics on it, and you can't really.
Still does to me.
Yeah. It's all percentages and degrees. So what are we doing here? But it, like, some of the stuff that we deal with on the brew house, for example, like, we have mechanical issues sometimes on our brew house one louder ton where we think that it has something to do mechanically, but then when we figure out that the mechanical issue isn't it, like, where do we go next? And part of that troubleshooting as we've approached it thus far has been adjusting the mill. Now, being able to read the certificate of analysis a little bit better and looking at that, I know I can go and look at the beta glucans and make sure that, okay, is everything in spec there? And then we can adjust from that and maybe make some mash adjustments and maybe add some Visco Buster or some other adjunct in order to help us get through that. So I think moving forward and what I'll be able to bring back to the brew house is a lot more like troubleshooting ability.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, you're right about those COAs. Sometimes, you know, I've been doing this for 12 years and sometimes I look at it and it's just like I get dizzy looking at them. But, you know, it is, you know, people can look back, you can, you know, keep them categorized or cataloged and then look back in the last, you know, 12 months or so and kind of look at your brews, do your evaluations and kind of, you know, figure out, yeah, hey, what do I need to tweak here? What do I need to tweak there? Especially, you know, since when we integrate new crop years, a lot of things change. And I think a lot of folks on the craft side, especially, don't really realize that, hey, when we make that adjustment or that changeover, you really got to take a look at the COAs because it's a completely new, you know, new crop, right? So no, that's all good stuff. Well, you know, one thing I did learn about you, Devin, is that you absolutely love playing video games, right?
I don't know about that. It's cheap entertainment. I spend $60 on a game and I'm able to play it for 2 months. It's like, what's not to love about that?
Nah, all good stuff. Cool. Sean Peterson, how you doing, man? I know this is the first time we've actually met, and I think it's cool that even folks that are local to Salt Lake here are able to join us, and I'm glad you and Luke were able to come out as well. And absolutely, I think between the what some 30 of us here that we've definitely supported y'all by pounding a bunch of your beers as well.
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, honestly. A lot of similarities as far as the questions go with Devin. One opposite, I started homebrewing a long time ago. I started homebrewing when I was 19. I moved out to Colorado with a girl I was dating at the time. I didn't know any 21-year-olds, and so I figured out that you didn't get carded buying malt and hops, and so I just kind of started there, and I never imagined that it would spiral into what I ended up wanting to do for a living, but I'm still pretty fresh to the brewing industry. I've only been in the brewing industry about coming up on 5 years now, and yeah, I mean, this has been super educational for me coming into this. Malt has been kind of my weakest area of expertise. I tend to get really excited about what hops and yeast can do. And as a sour brewer, malt was, you know, I kind of cut my teeth in mixed culture fermentation. And the malt, it's important there, but it's not as much in the forefront just because, I mean, you're drying out so much of those sugars anyway. But so switching over from a primarily sour and mixed culture based brewery to the brewery we're at now, where we are not allowed to do any mixed culture. Our lab manager gets a little wincy if you mention Brettanomyces, but yeah, it's been really interesting, and I'm just really excited again, you know, just kind of really learning how to decipher the nitty gritty of the COAs, and you know, the changes that you can take back, and I think everybody's mills are all different, you know, however many rollers you have on there. But so I think that's going to be kind of the funner part, is taking what we've learned here and then actually applying it to like our individual mills. I'm really excited for that. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Really great to know everybody, and got a really, really fun group out here.
Yeah. And so you and I were talking briefly about some experimentation that you did specifically with Golden Promise. And I was pretty interested to hear you chatting about, you know, what you did with it. On a couple, some sour beer applications, in that, you know, a lot of, curious to me, you mentioned malt kind of is not really on the forefront of that style of beer, but tell me about your experience with the varietal of Golden Promise. Just curious, and I think our listeners will be interested here as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were using Thomas Fawcett Golden Promise, and again, going back to the we're not allowed to bring bugs into the brewery thing, I did get approval to use some genetically engineered yeast where they've injected some plasmids into there so it can actually do some souring. And it was really cool to see that, because, you know, cutting my teeth at that sour brewery, I was always told how the malt's not important. And now I'm realizing maybe that might have been wanting to save a little bit more money than anything else. But Golden Promise has always been a favorite-based malt of mine, no matter what beer I've been brewing. So I was really excited to kind of do some experimentation with that on sours. And the complexity comes through. That's all I'm going to say. You know, we could argue about it back and forth all day, but I genuinely think there's some really cool complexity that I got out of that beer that I did not doing that same recipe with just, you know, regular base malts and stuff like that.
Awesome. And next is JT Albright. I want to thank JT for giving me dart elbow. If no one's ever heard of that term, I think I just made that up, but like he and I battled it out on the dartboard day one and he did beat me fair and square, but my elbow is like terribly sore from that. So JT, how you doing, buddy?
You know, after a quick dip in the cryo chamber, I'm feeling totally fine now. So yeah, it was a good competition, but you know, for the quick on me, you know, I've been at Stone for almost 2-3 years now at Lagunitas beforehand, and then luckily found my way into beer after working at Fortune 100 corporations doing procurement, either at the corporate office, quality, or working with the different people on the factory floor, and it is a much better place to work, I'll have to say that. Now, kind of what I've got out of this class is, as I've learned through my time in procurement and in my role as the senior sourcing manager, if I don't understand what I'm buying, I can't buy it properly. Because then I waste a lot of time coming to the brewer saying, hey, can we use this malt versus that malt? And they'll look at me and say, well, did you even compare the specs or the COA? So now instead of just sitting there kind of nodding my head, acting like I know what they're talking about as I frantically Google, I at least have some information to go with it and kind of add to the conversation and, you know, recipe creation and anything else that goes with it.
Well, hey, I appreciate y'all coming on real quickly and let me twist your arm to get on this. But thanks for coming out to the malting course, and I look forward to spending some time on the bus out to Pocatello tomorrow and see what y'all think about that big beast out there. So let's go get us a beer. And I got another special guest from the malting course out here in Salt Lake City. Our hero at United Malt Group, specifically Country Malt Group, well, Great Western Malting Inns. You pretty much do it all. And we love her because she is like all things CBC. She makes CBC. She makes the malting courses. She does all the work behind the scenes to make a lot of things work for us, specifically talking about the malting course here at Great Western. And I think you're already working on the malting course for CMC, what, in a month? I've got Justine Johnson. We call her JJ. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, Toby.
JJ like sticks her neck out to get closer to the mic. I'll hand it to you here in a second. So tell us a little bit about the malting courses and the history that we have as an organization putting these together. I went to one that Canada Malting put on probably 6 years ago, and we had a little time off over COVID. But specifically about this one here in Salt Lake with Great Western Malting.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Canada Malting one, it has a long history, probably 25 years with a few hiatuses here and there. And then we thought about the Great Western one, and we first had it in 2019. So that was kind of our inaugural one, really testing out the waters and seeing if we could make it work. And then obviously COVID took a couple years off and we're back at it this year. The hope with having it in Salt Lake was kind of to be able to travel to our malt plant and to some barley field and to just get a really wholesome view of the malt in general. A lot of the brewers just receive their end product, or distillers receive that end product, and we want to take them to the barley fields to meet the farmers to really get that hands-on approach to where their malt is coming from and where their end product is coming from.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we've had conversations with a couple of people is, you know, a lot of brewers don't really realize the time and energy and efforts it takes behind the scenes, as opposed to just going over and ripping out, you know, ripping open a 55-pound bag and brewing with it. So it is cool that we have the opportunity to bring some people out here and show them the fields, you know, put foot on the ground and then actually see the facility, which is a, you know, a really kick-ass facility and very state-of-the-art there in Pocatello. So I know, I can only imagine, you know, we talked about CBC and just you start planning a year ahead of time and then you pepper in events like these, which are awesome. But tell me about some of the challenges that you face trying to put this together and like some of the challenges like during the event in the malting course.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say this one's a little harder for myself being a Canadian, just trying to coordinate. I've never been to Salt Lake before, so trying to figure out where is a good place to eat, how's the best way to get around, where's the best place to stay and host the meetings to be able to get to those barley fields. And you also have to think about weather. I mean, can we walk to places? Is it going to be warm enough? Where can we sit? All those little pieces. And then when we're at the course, it's just making sure, is everyone taken care of? Is everyone, you don't want anyone to feel sort of left out, because a lot of people are coming by themselves. So you just want to make sure that everyone's getting introduced, and then it really becomes second nature to everyone. You become super good friends at the end of it, because you're able to talk through either challenges or insights that you've seen at your own facility, and then be able to take it back home and work together.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, JJ, but like, I'm not the most technical person in the world. There was so much information and so much technical data in there, I was having a hard time keeping up. But you could see, you know, we've got a lot of people in that room that have a background in technical brewing, you know, malting, et cetera. Their faces just lit up. But like the likes of Jan Landry, Scott Garden, and Bob McWilliams out here, really cool kind of seeing those folks be able to share insights and expertise with the rest of the crew.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of getting that wholesome group of everything that goes into how our plants run, how our plants are built, what keeps the food safe at the end of the day. And I think one of the biggest things that I always take away from these courses is how much the weather affects everything. How the weather will affect the barley fields, whether it's in the winter, in the summer, is it dry, is there enough water? And I think a lot of people might not underestimate that aspect of that'll affect the malt at the end of the day. It'll affect the barley. It'll affect how much barley we get too.
Yeah, you're right. It's, you know, once that plant's in the ground, it's all up to Mother Nature, right? You know, we heard some stories about, you know, there's been some hail recently, and then people are looking at drought, but there's absolutely nothing you can do other than just cross your fingers, right? So there is a lot of unknowns on the malt side or the barley side. So I think we're going to see a pretty good crop this year, but I'm really looking forward to spending time with you and the rest of the crew that we have out here tomorrow on the bus trip out to Pocatello. So tell me, I know you're working on the CMC malting course. Tell me a little bit about that, or the listeners about that and when that is.
Yeah, so the CMC malting course we do in about the third week of August. The reason that we choose the dates that we do is based off of the barley growing times. So right now we're nearing the end-ish of the winter barley in the Pocatello, Idaho area, and that's why we've chosen around June. And then it's a similar concept for the August malting course for Canada Malting. And with that one, we go to the Calgary plant because it's so close to, we're 30 minutes an hour away from the barley fields. We're 10 minutes away from the malt plant and all of that aspect. So we really do try to focus around, I mean, it's awful that half this stuff is in summer, so it's a lot harder for brewers and distillers to get away from their facilities, but it really is to get that on-the-hand experience in those barley fields and really touch it. And sometimes, like you were saying, the hail will wipe out a crop, and it almost brings you back to that's a farmer's entire livelihood that could be wiped out within 5 minutes.
For sure. Well, I appreciate all that you do on behalf of United Malt Group, specifically Great Western Malting, CMC, and Country Malt Group. You're awesome, and I appreciate you putting this together, and everybody's having a great time. So we'll look forward to tomorrow.
So this week, me, Heather, your Western Canadian Sales Territory Manager, is going to be coming to you live from the Canada Malting Malting Course in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm actually joined with the brains, the beauty, the organizational skills, the everything behind the scenes of both of the malting courses, both Great Western and Canada Malting, Justine Johnson. Welcome, Justine.
Hello, Heather. How are ya?
I am doing really good. I'm really, really excited for this week and everything that you've got planned. I kind of wanted to touch base with you on what goes into putting together this malting course.
There's a lot of just organizing and planning where everyone's going to be at what time. Where is everyone going to eat? Is everyone going to have the notebooks, the course packs, the USBs, all of those little pieces to make sure that everyone gets the best educational experience, and also to build relationships and friendships and industry knowledge and bonds that they might not get in their typical day-to-day operations.
So you mentioned like the USB and the packets and stuff like that. I saw your little gift packets that you've got on the table. Can you just tell me what you kind of give everybody when they come to the course?
Yeah, so standard is a notebook, and then also we print all the presentation packets out for everybody so that they can take notes along during the presentations. And then this year we also introduced this soap that we also gave out at CVC because we want to continue that sustainability talk about what we're doing on our plants to be sustainable.
So we talked about the soap in our sustainability episode. This is the soap that's being made from CO2 carbon capture at the plant here in Calgary. I'm really excited to get all these brewers and distillers, and we have some people from some other like craft maltsters, transloads. Like we have people from all over. I'm really excited to get them to the plant. Can you say a little bit of what they're going to see when they're there?
Yeah, so when we go to the plant day, we're going to get to tour Calgary's D House, E House, their MBR, which is again another sustainability aspect of Calgary, where it's our wastewater treatment plant, and then also where we receive barley, our lab tour. This is the first year that people got to tour the new adjunct facility and also the bagging line to kind of see that end result of a lot of these products.
Yeah, that's amazing. There's it's a very well-rounded crash course in malting, and we get all the experts from Canada Malting coming in to do presentations for everybody. Can you drop some big names at Canada Malting that we're going to be hearing from this week?
Well, I mean, of course, our MC, Kyron Flett. I like to volunteer him things that he's going to be doing for the week.
I also have grabbed him to do a bit of a recording later on this week too, so
that's what you got to do. Yeah. And then we also had presentations from our director of technical services and food safety and quality, Rich Joy, who is incredible. His biochemistry knowledge and all of that is next level, but he can really get granular for a lot of people. And then I had a lot of our process supervisors from the Calgary plant step up and help. Mike Dolman, Idris, Mac Remington. And then we also have the legend that is the Don Moore.
Don Moore. Yeah, Don Moore is going to be presenting on malt handling. Am I correct?
You are correct. And he is also going to be doing a wort sensory portion, which we're going to do the wort sensory. And then we're also going to go back and have some spirits tasting. So kind of see where some of those worts go into the spirits and how they can affect everything before it gets aged.
Well, I am very, very excited to dive into this week. I want to thank you ahead of time because I know it's going to be amazing and a bit of a whirlwind, but it's going to be fantastic. So let's go.
Hi, I'm Kyron, and I'm a Director of International Sales here at United Malt.
And I am Jonas. I'm the head brewer at Cabin Brewing here in Calgary.
And neither of you two are strangers to the podcast, and you've actually both been on the podcast recently to discuss this topic. But Kyron, can you tell us where we're hanging out right today at the for the malting course?
Yeah, well, this time when we're talking about the adjunct facility, we're actually right in the heart of it, looking at the RevTech cooker as we speak.
Pretty cool. Jonas.
Yes.
You were one of the very first brewers that got to work with our new oats that are coming out of this facility, but this is the first time you've got to see the facility. How cool is it?
It's super cool. Like it's a lot smaller and more compact, and I guess the space has been used very efficiently. Mm-hmm. It's so clean and new looking, and it just looks like there's some really, really cool technology in here.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We are going to be launching some of our new products shortly. Kyron, can you tell us a little bit about what's kind of be coming out of here?
Yeah, well, Flaked Oats is our number one product out of this facility, and it's been flying off the shelves, but the next three products we're bringing to market are Flaked Wheat, Flaked Rye, and Flaked Barley, which we're all really excited about.
Are any of those exciting you?
Yeah, I mean, we use mostly the flaked oats, flaked wheat as well. It'll be nice to have a product that's actually, you know, made and bagged in Calgary, and our brewery's only a kilometer away, so.
Yeah, right down the road, which is why you get to try the things out before everybody else gets to see them, and you get to see the facility. I do want to just ask you, it's your first time coming to Malting Course. Any highlights, anything you've learned this week that's kind of been the best?
Oh, there's so many things. The like just the tour of the D House and the E House, like seeing, you know,
30 or 40 year old technology versus, you know, more recent technology. It's very neat seeing how just how the process works.
Yeah.
I think honestly the highlight was probably the water treatment plant. And one of the guys there put, you know, a drop of the water that would normally go to drain in the microscope, and just like all of the microbes that are in there, and it's a whole little, you know, colony, whole planet of little microbes working to help make the water clean. It was very neat.
Yeah, it is a really cool water treatment facility. We also did talk about it on our sustainability podcast, so everybody can go back and listen to that if they want to learn more about it. Awesome. Well, I'm going to let you guys all get back to your day. Thank you for popping by and chatting with us.
Yeah, thanks, Jonas, for being our guinea pig on so many of these products.
Oh, it's been awesome. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. I am now joined by some very special guests, our Pink Boots Canada scholarship winners. So tell me who you are and where you're from.
So I'm Lauren Holshue. I work at Waterloo Brewing in Ontario. We were just recently acquired by Carlsberg Canada. So I guess I work for Carlsberg Canada as well. And I'm the quality assurance manager there.
And who are you and where are you from?
Hi, I'm Pam Bailey. I am president of Dakota Malt Limited, which is a small new malt house, craft malt house, opening in Ely, Manitoba.
That's amazing. And again, both Pink Boots Canada, Pink Boots Society of Canada members. Can you tell us a little bit about the process of applying for the scholarship for the Canada Malting course?
So it actually was like quite an easy process. It wasn't a quick process, I will say. It does take some thought processing. You got to write down, you know, what you want to say essentially in your essay. But pretty much the process includes writing an essay, potentially getting a letter of reference if that's the route you want to go, which I would highly suggest doing that. But it really is just filling out a question of why do you want to go on this, and why should they pick you, and how are you going to pay it back, and just like really going through the nitty gritty of like why.
The why. And Pamela, where did you find out about the scholarship?
I think I found out originally about the malting one from the actual like newsletter and everything. So Pink Boots is really good for sending out a newsletter just before, like not right before, so you're not panicking, but about a week or two, and it's like, hey, by the way, here's some sweet scholarships you can apply for this and this and that. And so they were really cool, and yeah, I really appreciate that.
And did you find the like application process kind of the same? Like,
yeah,
super difficult,
but it wasn't super difficult.
Okay.
I know that's a lot of people get scared when they see fill out this and fill out this and fill out that, but really you just focus on, you know, why am I doing this? I'm doing it for XYZ and I want to learn more, or here's why I think it will help me in my role in my business or whatnot. So it's pretty straightforward, and really if you just speak from your heart, I hate to say it, but it's true.
Yeah.
You just speak, this is what I want to do and this is why I want to do it, and yeah, it just kind of walks you through it. So it does seem a bit long, but at the same time it's not nothing that's not worth it, kind of. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about the pay it forward portion of the scholarship, which I don't know if everybody's super aware of. Can you tell me a little bit about the PIF program?
So essentially, once you get your scholarship, part of the scholarship is that obviously you have to pay it forward to women and non-binary folk in the fermentation industry. So that actually is a big part of your application, is kind of explaining what your plan is. A lot of thought goes into that. And I say a lot of thought because I've seen people do a really good pay it forward, and I've seen people do like an okay job. And obviously I'm an overachiever, so like I want to do the best. So my plan right now is to essentially do like a huge pink day, like a Pink Boots brew day, and include like a learning part of it. In Kitchener-Waterloo, where I'm from, Pink Boots is not huge. It's not petite, but it's not as big as Toronto. So Toronto being an hour away, sometimes the events are just unattainable. So I want to make sure that I make it attainable for the folks in Kitchener-Waterloo and really show them what I learned about malting, because malting in Ontario is not really close to heart. It's always done out west. So
bringing it a little bit home, I think, is going to be awesome for our team.
I also kind of want to know, because it's really, really cool to have somebody else from like the malting aspect of it, because then I think that not everybody realizes that the Pink Boots isn't just for, you know, women and non-binary and beer. It is for all aspects of the fermentation industry. So I'm a member and I work in malting, and you're a member and you work in malting. Is there anything really cool that you learned this week that you didn't know before?
Which part?
So a lot of it.
So I think, well, one of my other jobs is that I'm also a grain farmer on the prairies. So it was really neat to look at it because, a lot of people think, brewing and breweries, you know, just beer, and that's all they think about. But there's all these other pieces, like malt, like hops, like all the adjuncts and everything like that. So that whole other side of it. And then as from a farmer perspective, it's really neat because, you know, I grow these grains and seeing what the end use is going to be. So seeing the whole supply chain is really neat. And it's really cool when we go see the fields and people are very excited about it. I'm like, yeah, this is my other 9 to 5. Yeah. So, but there's been a lot I've learned, but I don't know which one thing would be the best, but yeah.
All right. I'm going to let you both get back to it because I know we've got a super tight schedule for you today, but I do want to know any funny stories, any super fond memories from the week so far. You can say bingo.
I was going to say crockpot bingo was probably crockpot.
Yeah. Crock
pot. So there was a bingo thing going on at the bar, and it was quite interesting because one of the prizes was a crockpot. Yeah. And personally, my own crockpot. I resonated with this because my crockpot this last 2 weeks during harvest definitely needs to be replaced. So I was like, ooh, maybe I could get the crockpot.
Nobody won the crockpot.
I know, nobody won the crockpot, but also I understand it would be a challenging thing to ship back to Winnipeg.
Most
so
likely. I think we might have to make bingo a regular thing at the malting course now, because it did turn into a big fan favorite of a random bingo find. But
I would say, honestly, just the best part is that we hang out all day together, and then we hang out all night together. And the amount of people I've met in not just brewing, but in malting, from Canada, from the US, you know, from Japan, like all over, literally all over the world, with different experiences. Even just Pam and I are on different spectrums of how we use malt. And it's just been, really interesting to get to know people, different aspects of the industry. And obviously bingo.
Obviously bingo. Awesome. Well, thank you both. Thank you for applying. We're really, really excited to have launched the scholarship this year. And we look forward to other Pink Boots members joining us next year.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's a wrap for this episode, Heather. Back to school. I certainly learned a lot.
I definitely did as well.
Yeah, very good. And appreciate all the ears for the episode this week. I think safety's coming up, a big important topic that is near and dear to us, and we've got a vast array of awesome guests joining us, so be on the lookout, listeners, in the next couple weeks when we launch this thing.
Yeah, we've had a lot of requests to do the episode on safety, so I'm really looking forward to people getting to hear this one.
Yep. All right, well, if you have not subscribed to our podcast yet, please do so wherever you can make that happen. And we look forward to y'all joining us on the next one. Cheers. Bye, Heather.
Bye.